time to talk with, we're going to talk about the Bell Tower residents here this morning, and Chris McGarrigill is back with us. She's been with us before. Good morning once again, Chris.
Good morning, Jeff.
What do you do at Bell Tower Residence? Let's start there, first of all, right at the basics.
Sure. I'm the administrator at Bell Tower Residence. It is a 90-bed assisted living facility, and we have probably about 80 people there right now.
Okay. And introduce us to who you brought with you today.
Absolutely. I have Allison with us today, and she is our activities director in charge of all the fun.
Allison, thanks for being here with us this morning.
Thanks. Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about, generally speaking, who is the Bell Tower Residence for?
We serve the Merrill community and the surrounding areas, as well as Lincoln County and some of Wausau. And it is for people who are 55 and older who need some help with their daily life. They may be very independent and just need some help cooking and cleaning. They might have needs where they need help with their cares, or they might have memory issues.
Okay, and so what determines, I would assume that there's different levels of care for people, that some people might need more, some people less, and it's catered to those people, tailored to those people.
Correct. You know, we have, like I said, some people are fairly independent. Some people might need help with bathing, dressing, getting around. We also have a fair number of people that have some stage of Alzheimer's disease or other conditions that affect their memory. Some of them live on our memory care unit, where we really take care of just people with memory issues, while other of them live throughout the building because they can really get by day to day with it.
Okay, and Allison, how do you keep these folks entertained as the activities director at Bell Tower?
So there's lots of different things that we like to do specifically catered to our memory care program. We try to really hone in on the abilities that they're able to still do.
Okay.
So, I mean, talking about physical activity, we try to do crafts. We really try to keep them cognitively going. We try to hone in on all of those certain types of things. So we're always doing crafts. I've got lots of sensory stimulation kinds of activities. Entertainment is a huge one, because I think anybody can really understand this. Everybody loves music, and it's great to see residents who are unable to maybe hold a specific conversation, but once you start listening to certain songs that they used to listen to back in the day, and they can sing every single word. Huh. So entertainment is a huge one.
So we're going to concentrate on that Alzheimer's disease and memory care unit at Bell Tower. So I guess, Chris, I'm going to come back to you on this one. How do we know when we ourselves, or maybe somebody close to us that we love, is going to need some extra attention in this department in life? How do we know?
Yeah, and this is the more serious part of our conversation, and it's, for some people, it's difficult to talk about, but I think we are all getting to know somebody that is impacted by, yeah, Alzheimer's disease or other similar conditions, and our heart goes out to you. That's first and foremost. But helping people when they get to that stage, which we'll talk about, get into a nice home-like environment that allows them to still be purposeful and allows them to still enjoy life and feel part of something, because so often people with memory issues start to separate themselves, yeah, and that can be a sign, because they start to realize, I can't play cards anymore. I can't hold up my end of the conversation. People might make fun of me. That early stage where they know that they are starting to have some problems, and they will start to back away. Hmm. They'll start to isolate a little bit. Family can still help at times like these. They know mom or dad real well. But when people start to, maybe they're living on their own and they're not eating healthy, they're starting to lose weight. Maybe they're starting to do things that aren't safe. Maybe they're leaving the burner on. Maybe they're getting outside and they're not quite sure how to get back in. Hmm. Sometimes people are kind of caught in the past. They think they're back at the farm, but they don't live at the farm anymore.
Right.
You know, so they go out to feed the animals, and there's no animals. What we really encourage people to do, regardless of the stage, is to have a plan, because sometimes there will be one incident, a hospitalization, or something happens, and now all of a sudden this loved one needs care and we haven't thought ahead and it's a crisis.
And if they're maintaining a home on their own, no matter what degree of success they're having maintaining that home, that's all going to be left for the loved ones afterwards.
Right.
So that's also something that you know, kids of aging parents need to know. How are things at home? Because you may have to go in there one day, sight unseen, and have to pick up all the pieces or carry on from there.
Right. And, you know, sometimes we see things like mom or dad is falling, you know, a lot, and they want to stay home by themselves, but realistically they can't safely do so. Or maybe they stop taking care of themselves. You know, you come to visit and you notice they haven't showered for a week or two, and they're disheveled, they're not wearing clean clothes. So it's different with everybody. And again, we want to be a resource. So to help people, to inform people, so that when the time comes, you know, there's a plan made. I think it's also important to realize we all think of memory, you know,
right.
But there are other changes that happen with Alzheimer's and similar conditions where their vision starts to become very narrowed in. You know, they don't have any depth perception. Their hearing becomes distorted. They might not be able to hear things. They might have hallucinations. They might see things like look at a pattern in the carpet on the floor, and instead of the pattern, they see a big black hole. You know, so there are other things, unfortunately, in a loss of mobility that go along with Alzheimer's, not just the memory.
Let me ask you this question, and Allison, I've got something for you here next, because when a person is showing, let's say that the person wears hearing aids, they stop wearing their hearing aids, that should be a red flag right away, because from what I understand from some of my personal experiences, hearing loss can just speed up the whole dementia process.
Mm-hmm.
Isolationism also can speed up that dementia process. So those are the couple of other things that just out of firsthand knowledge here that we need to be aware of with our aging parents.
Right, right.
Allison, got a question for you here, a scenario, and I want you to respond. I'm reading a book right now. You're probably too young to know who Kramer is.
Yes.
You don't know who Kramer is. You know who Kramer is.
I know who Kramer is.
Kramer was a character on a show called Seinfeld.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the Kramer. His name is Michael Richards. He was famous for entering a room and exiting a room. That was like some of his shtick. Watch some reruns sometime. You'll probably get hooked. But anyway, Michael Richards wrote a book. It's called Entrances and Exits. I'm reading that book right now, and I'm learning so many things. It's one of my favorite shows of all time, so I'm really into this. First of all, I didn't know Kramer was Italian. Michael Richards, an Italian man. He was raised by a single mom and his grandma and grandpa. His grandma had schizophrenia and some other dementia issues. And so when Michael Richards came along, the child of a single mom, she had to go to work, and she was wondering, what am I doing with my little boy here? And Michael Richards' grandpa said, let Ma watch him. And that made her take a pause a little bit. Well, you know, Mom's got some issues. I'm not sure if I want to leave my baby with him. Let Ma take care of him. He'll be just fine. And wouldn't you know it, this woman, with all of her issues, locked in her own mind because of schizophrenia and other dementia issues, she was sharp as a tack when it came time to taking care of that baby. So Michael Richards, guy we all know as Kramer, was actually raised by his grandma. But the dementia got to the point where it was so bad she would start walking off and not knowing where she was, just like some of the things we're talking about here. And then it got to the point where she was a danger to herself. Michael was getting older and starting to spend less time because of her issues. And she ended up having to be institutionalized.
Okay.
And she was taken care of then for the rest of her life. But the thing that really got me here, and I'm wondering if this is a thing that goes into a lot of other dementia issues, having that baby to take care of brought her back to right where she was as a brand new mom, mm-hmm. and responsible with no mental issues whatsoever, and taking care of that baby the way a baby needs to be taken care of. Tell me, how common is this?
You know, I see that a lot, actually, not only in my professional life, but in my personal life. And I don't know if it's the specific child, but I feel like giving someone that sense of purpose and giving someone something to take care of or a job to do or something that's specifically catered and tailored for that person, they excel. And I don't know scientifically why that is, but I see it all the time. And, you know, if there is a resident and they're having a hard time or they're having difficulty expressing themselves or needing something, and you give them a job or you give something for them to do that they can excel in, that's like an unfailed thing, they just know what to do. They know how to take care of that child. They know how to sew. They like dive deep back into their roots. And unfortunately, dementia is something that we see all the time as healthcare professionals. But what I also always see is that somewhere along that process and somewhere along that line, it's like their past is constantly being brought out and their roots are constantly being brought out. So they're able to recall the memory of sewing. They're able to recall taking care of the child, baking. I have received recipes from family members. And when I bring those ingredients in front of our residents that are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's, they know exactly what to do with that. So, you know, it's such a crazy, you know, illness. But, you know, you give somebody that purpose and that will to do something, and they know exactly what to do.
The human mind is just amazing in so many different ways. Somebody doesn't remember the conversation they had 5 minutes ago, but take them back 40 years into the kitchen that they were used to, and boy, they're right back there.
They are.
How this has to make your job very challenging, because I would assume that individual people probably have individual stimuli that would bring them to those, and it's not a blanket thing. You can't just give a person suffering from dementia a baby doll and think that that's going to, it's got to be different. So how do you figure that out?
So basically what I do is I navigate our needs day to day. So I basically look at our clientele and I say, okay, today we're feeling maybe a little bit more tired than we were feeling yesterday. Maybe we're more energetic than we were yesterday. I have an activity calendar that's pretty broad, but the things that are on there, we can kind of personalize to what we need and what the residents could use per, you know, day to day. So kind of how I take that is we do a lot of one-on-one and like interactions, and, you know, group activities I've noticed may not always be successful. It might be a little bit more difficult to keep everybody around us a little bit more energized and whatnot all together. So maybe that means that I need to go and I need to go to one of our residents specifically and meet their needs from where they're at that day.
It also must be important that you have a good relationship with kids of these grown-ups, if they have them, or grandkids, because they can share things that you would probably take a long time to find out because they're probably not as forthcoming with information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually created a resident biography, if you will. So I reached out to family members and I created this biography of this person's life. So when I have maybe a volunteer come in or a new staff member join us, they're able to read what this person used to do, how many family members they had, their likes, their dislikes, because that person may not able, you know, be able to express that.
Sure.
But at least we have a little bit of knowledge going into our interaction with that individual to make that interaction a little bit more successful.
Chris, I want to come back to you. So that leads me to the next question about, is there room at Bell Tower for more patients like this, for more folks like this? Do you always have openings?
Our openings change from time to time. We do have openings right now, and we have a variety of apartments. Some with Alzheimer's, it's different. You know, some people like a little bit bigger apartment because they're used to that space. Surprisingly, some people like a smaller apartment. It's more structured. It's secure. There's no like hidden corners or anything. I can see everything at once. So we do have about 3 open rooms on our memory care floor. And so we do have some open apartments. You know, I want to touch base a little bit too with all the things we do. One of the things Bell Tower is special to have is chaplains. We have our own chaplains on staff. And just like the music, it's amazing how people's faith beliefs stick with them, and they're able to participate in these Bible studies or worship services or sing-alongs. And with our chaplains on staff, they are able to go up there and meet those needs for some people who desperately, at that time of their life, they really need that.
So I guess we have some more to talk about here yet. We still have a little bit of time, but we're also getting short. So I want to make sure that we don't leave anything out. So at this point, Allison, I want to come back to you here a little bit and tell us, is there anything else that we need to know from your perspective about why folks can feel really good about at least exploring the option of Bell Tower residence?
You know, honestly, I think a lot of the positive outcomes of Bell Tower is that we have such a wonderful group of healthcare professionals. We work together as a team. We establish a morale at Bell Tower that feels family-like. With my personal experiences with certain family members, I feel that the connections you make, you know, you really make good relationships and you feel like you can express things. And I just want everybody to know that Bell Tower is really, it's a special place. It has a lot of history. It's got good staff, and the residents, there's not a face in that building that you will not meet, that you will not get along with.
I don't think too many adults can be out there that, unfortunately, we've seen some bad situations mm-hmm. with some of our aging relatives over the years. And I can think back when I was a kid going to see Aunt Mabel. I didn't want to go to see Aunt Mabel mm-hmm. because she was in a scary place. I loved Aunt Mabel, but she was in a scary place. I am so happy to say I haven't been in a place like that in a long time. So things have come a long way in elder care over the years, haven't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, they have. They have. And we're glad for that. And I think, again, with Bell Tower being started by the sisters, actually by the nuns, it kind of set a tone for how people would be treated with respect and compassion. And even though we're now, you know, part of Wisconsin, Illinois senior housing, we've kept that and, mm-hmm. you know, want that to be what we're known for.
I'm curious, when you're especially working with Alzheimer's patients, there's no cure for it, so they're not going to get better. You're just trying to make every day the best it can be. So I'm just curious, what's a good day at work for you? How do you go home at the end of the day and feeling? How do you feel success in your job? I'm just curious because you're dealing with folks that, I mean, it's a challenge and they're mm-hmm. they're not going to get better. So I'm curious how that affects you.
Specifically on our memory care unit, a good day for me is honestly crawling out of my office, setting aside my paperwork for the day, and going and spending time with them. Mm-hmm. Because it's my job is to give them the best of the rest of their lives. And when I'm able to go and see the smiles because of what I'm doing, that's, I get to go home and know that I made a difference.
You know what? If I'm looking for a place for my parent in that kind of situation, hearing what you just mm-hmm. said is going to put me over the top. I'm calling you at the Bell Tower residence. Chris, we're going to have to get out of here. So anything else that you want to add? And what makes a good day at work for you? What do you go home? What happens during the day that makes you go home and say, this was a good day?
I think along with what Allison said is when the staff tell me, I love my job. Do we have bad days? Absolutely, yeah. We have bad days. But for have staff that say, I am here because I want to be here, I could work other places, but I want to be here and I want to take care of the residents, and I see them giving their all, that makes me feel like we're in a good business. There's a lot of things we could all be doing.
Is it hard to find good staff at Bell Tower? Are you always looking for good folks?
We are always looking for good folks. We have had some great hires. You know, we're like everybody else. We need to hire staff, but we've had some great hires, and we have people that have been there a really long time. They know these residents and take great care of them.
Yeah, I think almost every healthcare institution in the country could always use some good help. So if you're a good person looking for a good place to work, sounds like Bell.
Absolutely. Give us a call.
What's the best way to get a hold of the Bell Tower residents, find out more, whether you're interested in working there, whether you're interested in living there? How do you look up?
There's a couple of ways. You can go to our website, which is www.belltowerresidents.org, and there's a contact us page. There's a careers page. So there's ways to get a hold of us on our website. Or give us a call, 715-536-5575. It's one number for mm-hmm. whatever you want. Just give us a call, and our lovely receptionist will get you in touch with the right person.
I appreciate you being here this morning. Allison, some last words for you. You did a great job on the radio today,
Thank
by the
you.
Way. Anything else you want to add before you get out of here?
I do want to shout out. We are having a pen pal visit with our Washington Elementary class, and we're very excited. Our residents do a little pen pal. We write letters back and forth to each other, so if they're listening, I want to shout out to them.
Well, good. Thank you for doing what you're doing. going too. You're doing such an important job. Thank you. You and your personality, just a little bit of a meeting you here this morning, you seem just perfectly made for this job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Chris, you know you're welcome here anytime,
yeah,
right?
Thanks, Jeff. It's been great.
Come back anytime. Those are the folks from the Bell Tower Residence in Merrill. Check it out if you're looking for a good place to, spend some time with your parents. Whether you're looking for a place on your own, check out Bell Tower Residence. I'll bet you'll be happy with what you find.